proclaim the word of life, Jesus Christ. We met him and knew him in all his humanity. We lived with him, hung out with him, ate with him, danced with him. We watched him, listened to him, learned from him, laughed with him. We remember his height, weight, muscle tone, bone structure. We were well acquainted with the colours of his eyes, hair, skin, blemishes. We can call to mind his mannerisms, appetite, accent, sandal size, scent. We could have recorded all these for posterity, but we didn't. We prioritised his stories, his teaching, encounters and example. Not thinking it important to take note of what he was wearing that day, how firm was his handshake, how clean were his feet. But take it from us. He was our down-to-earth Jesus. We touched him, held on to him, let him go, and here is our joy. We find new fellowship with him, and so do you who have never met him in the flesh. We proclaim the rounded, grounded Jesus Christ, Word of Life. Well, good morning, everyone. And such a beautiful morning as well. And I was commenting at the door to a few people how everybody's coming in looking so summery and just nice bright colours. It's just absolutely lovely. So I hope we all get a chance to enjoy some of the sunshine this afternoon, although we also have a lovely concert to come to in the afternoon here in the sanctuary. At 2:30, the Aberdeen Orpheus Choir are giving a concert in aid of the Leprosy Mission Scotland. And I know I'm very much looking forward to that this afternoon. A wee reminder to those on the Kirk Session and Board that we have a meeting this week, 7:30, here in the sanctuary. There's a number of other intimations, which I'm going to highlight one or two of. Just a wee word, we're going to think a little bit this morning about the weekend of invitation, which takes place in a few weeks' time, and I'll be explaining in a number of ways what's going on that weekend and how you can all be involved. But one of the things I am looking for is some donations of beer. We're having a sports and beer night along at the Kirk Centre, and it would be a bit of a shame if we'd everybody turning up and there was no beer. So if anybody has any beer lurking in the cupboard that they'd be willing to donate to us, then either take it along to the Kirk Centre or leave it in the vestry next Sunday. That'd be a big help. The last Sunday, we celebrated the year of the young people, and as part of that, we invited folk to sign a pledge. And the pledges are still there. So if you weren't here last week, or if you were here but couldn't wait because there's a long queue of folk ahead of you, then please take some time before you leave today to add your name to this pledge. It's really pledging to the young folk that come to our part of our church community that we are there for them and we value them and see them as a really important part, an equal part in all that we do here. So I encourage you to do that. As I said, I'm going to say a little bit more about the weekend of invitation during the service, but we need some help. We have invitations to distribute to each of the households in the parish, and the girls in the office have very kindly bundled them all up into envelopes ready for distributing, and we're hoping that folk might take advantage of the nice weather and go for a wee walk and deliver some of these invitations for us. So if you could do that, then please feel free to help yourself to an envelope from the boxes here and help us over the next couple of weeks get these invitations out. But as I say, I'll say a little bit more about that as we go on through the service. I will leave you to read everything else that's there. Oh, except this wee note, sorry, Anne. A big thank you from the 050 group to everyone who came and supported their coffee morning on the day of the royal wedding. It was a very happy gathering which raised £405 for Lovett Lodge in Nairn, a charity which specialises in holidays for the less able. So that was a fantastic effort on a day that was a bit of an unknown quantity as to how many people might turn up, but there was a good number of folk came and a very successful morning. So well done to the 050 group, and that's a thank you from them. From the beginning, the word of life was present, and we welcome the eternal word to live and thrive among us today. In Jesus, the word of life, we come to worship God, that our joy may be complete. Let us worship the God of light. We stand to sing hymn 192, All my hope on God is founded. please join me as we come to God in prayer. Amazing God, your beauty shines brightly all around us, in the sky above, the earth below, and in the ocean deep. You show yourself to us in bright sunshine, warming our faces and bodies, in light drizzling rain, which tickles our skin and drenches our clothes. You have given us gifts to taste and see, to enjoy and wonder, to respect and look after. Creator God, Alpha and Omega, your glory is revealed in the splendors of the universe. From the tiniest atom to the ball of fire we call the sun. In the northern hemisphere, we are enjoying the long daylight hours of that sun and the natural beauty of the trees and flowers colouring and brightening our days. School holidays are not far away. Just a few weeks to go, and children are excited and ready to explore the world you have created beyond their desks. They're ready for long, lazy days with time to enjoy all the world has to offer, kicking footballs around the grassy meadows, paddling on the seaside beaches, or cycling through the woodland trails. We regret that too often we fail to enjoy the world you have given us, wrapping our attention up in inanimate objects. We're sorry that we are guilty of turning the world's beauty into a waste ground and allowing plastic pollution to endanger the waters and the animals it supports. Help us to pay more attention to the beauty of this world and to be more responsible for the way we treat it. Loving God, you have given us so much and we are grateful. Help us to be mindful of it all and treat it respectfully. And hear us as we join our voices and hearts together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I wonder, do any of you wait expectantly for your post to arrive? Do you wait for your postie? Do you ever get excited about what the postie might bring? Sometimes, maybe in the run-up to a birthday, you might be excited and be watching to see what comes through the letterbox. Would that be right? And other days, you're thinking, oh no, there might be a bill coming through that letterbox, and you might not want it. So I've got some examples here of things that might come through the letterbox, some of which are quite exciting, I think, and others which are maybe, oof. Anyway, the first one, what have I got here? Can you guess what that might be? Yeah, any ideas what that might be? It's a bank statement. I'm not sure. I have a pile of these unopened. Does anybody else do that? Get their bank and just go in a pile because you think, I don't really want to know what that says. I don't need to know what that says. As long as the machine keeps giving me money and I can still do my shopping. Yeah. So that's probably from a wee while ago, it has to be said, because I found it on my desk. It's a bank statement. What about this? What might this be? What might that be? There's a phrase for this kind of post. Junk mail. We get an abundance of it. Although I'm hoping after this GD, whatever it is, and having said, ignored lots of emails and ignored lots of pleas to stay in touch, that might have a drastic reduction in the amount of junk mail that either comes through the post or into my inbox. That's my hope anyway. So I've got a couple of pieces of junk mail. So that's, my husband obviously decided at some point to do one of these Go Compares or something, because it's both of these are for car insurance. Anyway, so there we go. Junk. What about this? What's this? You know what that is, Fraser?
Postcard.
A postcard. It's nice to get a postcard, isn't it? This is one that I got a couple of summers ago. It's a friend from a friend of mine and his son who were on holiday, and they came into Aberlour as part of their holiday. And in Aberlour, we have a tea room that's run by volunteers, or they had a tea room that's run by volunteers. And I used to volunteer. And so this couple had come in one afternoon when I'd been there, and this was a wee postcard, just to say, the cakes were awesome. Please send the recipe. Might be back next year or for a game of putting from Jordi and his dad. So it was nice to get a wee postcard. And I know I've been encouraging you to think about sending postcards to us all here in church if you're going away anywhere this summer. That would be really lovely if you wanted to send a postcard. We can share them when they come in. That's a postcard. Right, I've got this one here. Now, this is a very special letter. Can you see what it says on top of where that letter's come from? See up there? What does it say up on there? Can you read that?
Read it. See there.
Buckingham Palace. It's come from Buckingham Palace. Mm. Who might this have been from? The Queen. Well, actually, it wasn't from the Queen. This is one I got, very exciting invitation I got last summer. It was from Buckingham Palace, and it was inviting me to be a guest preacher at Crathay during the season when the Queen was there. And this was a letter that I received. I'd had a phone call in advance from the minister up at Crathay just to check I was available that particular Sunday. But that was my formal invitation from the palace to go and be there. And I had a very exciting weekend. And if anybody wants to hear about that at any time, just ask. I can regale you for hours with stories. Anyway, but I've got another envelope here. What does it say on that one? Jam. Is this a letter for Jam? Do you want to open up and see what it is? You have to look and see what's inside there. See, if you go to the other end, it's already open. Oh. Okay. We'll get it open. What's inside there? Oh, what does it say in the front? It says, come and be our guest. Come and be our guest. You should all have received one of these when you came in this morning. In fact, you should have received two. If you didn't get two on your way out, please take a second one, and I will explain about that much later in the service. But this is an invitation to you all to come and be our guest, because we're having this special weekend, a weekend of invitation. It's part of a national campaign where we're asked to invite people to come along to our church communities and then take part in some lovely events. And that's what we've got planned for the weekend of the 14th through to the 17th of June, a weekend of invitation. And we think the group that are organising it, the Outreach Core Group, have got something for everybody. So starting on the Thursday afternoon with Messy Church. Then on Friday, the Friday Cafe will be open, as usual. We're inviting all our youngsters who are at secondary school to come to that. Then in the evening, there's the sports quiz with beer. But there will be soft drinks too for those who don't want to have any beer. And that's at 7 o'clock at the Kirk Centre. Looking for teams of four. But if you want to come along, we'll easily make up other teams from folk that want to come and make new friends. Maybe you get into a team with somebody you don't know. A fun evening that night. Then on the Saturday in the afternoon, there's a tea dance, and you're invited to put on your dancing shoes and join us for an afternoon tea with music and dancing, and that's at 2 o'clock on the Saturday afternoon. Then in the evening, we're having a film show, The Blind Side. It's a great film starring Sandra Bullock, and that's 7 o'clock in the Kirk Centre, and there'll be some ice cream and a drink included in that. And then on the Sunday morning, we're having a special all-age service, a Songs of Praise, when I'm going to be inviting various folk to choose hymns for that morning, including yourselves. And I've asked Carol to speak to you this morning about maybe picking a couple of songs that you might like to sing that morning. So you've got these invitations, and you're going to take them through to Jam this morning, and Carol will say a wee bit more about them, and maybe you can find some friends to invite along to some of these events. Would that be good? Yeah, because we're going to have some really good fun that weekend. We're inviting folk to come and be our guests. So if I give those to you, Fraser, will you take them through? And that goes for everyone here. You've got two invitations. One is a wee reminder to yourselves as to what's on and where it's on. And the other one is maybe for you to extend that invitation to someone else to come along and join in. And you're not just limited to one. If you want to invite a few more folk, then we've got extra invitations. So just please help yourself. But it is intended to be an opportunity for all of us to invite our friends to come along and see what we get up to, what fun we can have together as a church family. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing a wee song we've sung before. Grace is when God gives us the things we don't deserve.
The Bible reading this morning is from the first letter of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And this can be found on page 302 of the Good News Bible. Let us listen for the word of God. The word of life. We write to you about the word of life, which has existed from the very beginning. We have heard it, and we have seen it with our eyes. Yes, we have seen it, and our hands have touched it. When this life became visible, we saw it. So we speak of it and tell you about the eternal life which was with the Father and was made known to us. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you also, so that you will join with us in the fellowship that we have with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this in order that our joy may be complete. Thanks be to God for the reading of this word. Amen.
Thank you, Mary. Just a short reading for us this morning. We sing again and we stand to sing 181 in our hymn books for the beauty of the earth.
Oh,
our reading from the first letter of John was indeed very short. It is the introduction to a letter addressed to a Christian community that seems to be unsure of itself. There have been squabbles among the leadership, and some folk have left. And so the letter writer has written because he wants the readers to be sure and reassured that they are God's children. Although this letter is entitled the first letter of John, it's actually unclear if John, the gospel writer, was indeed its author. It would be just like John not to draw attention to himself by not making it clear that he was. And certainly the letter is written claiming a first-hand testimony of Jesus' ministry. We will never be sure, and certainly academia has never solved the mystery. But as with other writings in the Bible, it's the message that is the most important thing. And if we're to understand the Bible as a text relevant to us today, then our task is to discern what this letter says to us in the here and the now. And over the next few weeks, we'll be taking a closer look at other sections of this first letter of John. The Bible is a phenomenal book. It is indeed timeless, and it never fails to blow me away with the way that it speaks to us in the here and now. Words written, spoken nearly 2,000 years ago, speaking directly into our lives, our world. That is the power of the Bible. And so the opening words of this first letter of John proclaim to us the witness testimony of the letter writer to its recipients, but also to us. This letter begins with a, "We were there, we saw it with our own eyes, and we want you to share our joy." Eugene Peterson in The Message translates these verses as, "From the very first day we were there taking it all in, we heard it all with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredible. This, the infinite life of God himself, took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy." Our faith should be a source of joy, something that brings joy, comfort, hope, peace, and so many other gifts. If, like me, you watched the royal wedding last Saturday, you too may well have been blown away by the incredible sermon preached by Bishop Michael. He spoke with a real passion, real enthusiasm, real joy at the message of the good news. And I have this idea that Bishop Michael had realized that he had the moment of his life to preach to the biggest congregation he would ever have, i.e. the world. And he took that opportunity. And he preached with the same enthusiasm as the letter writer to a world that needs to hear the message of love to be found in the Bible. The message that love appeared as a human being in Jesus Christ. That love hung on a cross for us. Bishop Michael put it this way. He didn't die for anything he could get out of it. Jesus did not get an honorary doctorate for dying. He didn't. He wasn't getting anything out of it. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the good of others, for the good of the other, for the well-being of the world, for us. And he preached that love has the power to make the world a better place if we make love the way. I don't have Bishop Michael's exuberant preaching style, and so whilst very tempted to give you the whole text of his sermon, I won't. I will, however, return to Bishop Michael and have a few more quotes from him today and over the weeks to come, because I think that his words were very relevant to our text and relevant to how we should be walking this path that we call faith. And I will encourage you, if you can, to try and access a copy of the full text, or even better, watch a video of the sermon. But back to today. There's a suggestion that this letter should be read as a companion text to the Gospel of John. Another hint that perhaps the Gospel writer and letter writer are one and the same. In John's Gospel, the opening chapter contains verses at 14 to 16, these words. The Word became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said he comes after me, but he is greater than I am because he existed before I was born. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another." They may well sound familiar. Another witness testimony. John's Gospel emphasized Christ's divinity. The letter of John is almost a rediscovery of the importance of his humanity and the Jesus who's proclaimed as the Word of Life and whose life character and teaching are as important to the life of faith as his divinity. The letter begins, as we've already noticed, with a witness statement like those from the verses in the opening verses of John's Gospel. There's a sense of urgency in them, a sense that this is the way it was and is. This is an invitation to enter the story of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Word of Life. And I think that is how Bishop Michael approached his sermon last Sunday. I've got this one chance, and boy, am I going to take it. The opening words of 1 John are an invitation to enter the story of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Word of Life. One that we have accepted by stepping over the threshold of this church building. Each time we enter here, we enter a space where we worship and we learn together about the love that God has for each one of us. And yet we know that the invitation for us to enter this space is not exclusive. We're not part of some exclusive club that keeps some out while welcoming others in. Indeed, the front page of our church website declares, whoever you are, whatever creed or colour, cultural background or sexual orientation is yours, we want you to feel welcome in Cult's church. Whatever exclusive is, we are not it. In a fortnight's time, we have our weekend of invitation, a real opportunity for us to invite people to engage with us as a church community. An opportunity to extend the welcome and say to folks, come, be our guest, all are welcome. Because we have a good news story to tell. It is a story of restoration. It is a story of love. It is a story of joy. It is a story of peace. It is a story of hope. A story we can all enter into and find a home. There is a place for everyone. God's love is big enough. Quoting Bishop Michael again. Think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families where love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce where love is the way. Imagine this tired old world where love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive. When love is the way, there is no child who will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty good room for all of God's children. Because when love is the way, we actually treat each other well, like we are actually family. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of all, and we are brothers and sisters, children of God. And that's what we're inviting people to come and find out. We are the family of God here in this place. The Church of Scotland, as a representative part of God's family, is facing huge challenges, declining membership, aging congregations, and a dearth of families. And it's all a bit doom and gloom. Except it's not. Because, and I've said this already and I'll say it again, because we have a good news story to tell. It is a story of restoration. It is a story of love. It is a story of joy. It is a story of peace. It is a story of hope. A story we can all enter into and find a home. There is a place for everyone. God's love is big enough. This last week, the Church of Scotland met in General Assembly. One of the main themes coming out of the week was the urgent need to take a good hard look at ourselves as a church and to try and come up with a vision for the future. The Council of Assembly had written what they were brave enough to call a strategy. The Council of Assembly are the heads of each of the church councils that come together. If you like, they're the heed bummers. But they were told to go away by the Assembly. They were told to go away and come up with a strategy that was radical. That the proposed plan with its 10-year length was not what was needed. Time was running out. We need to be radical now, was the message that they were given. And I should warn you that it wasn't just the Council of Assembly who have been told by this week's commissioners to be radical. Presbyteries and their presbytery plans have been also instructed to be radical. And Kirk Sessions have been told we have to have conversations about what the decline in the church means to us and how we might help address it. But can I tell you that far from doom and gloom, I'm excited about the future. Excited to be part of a church that wants to be radical. Excited to be part of a church that still sees its own relevance. Excited to be part of a church that takes its mission seriously. Excited to be part of a church that cares about the world we live in and the people that we share it with. Excited to be part of a church that is willing to look up and out at the world. Excited to be a church that sees the worth in each of God's children. John, or whoever wrote the letter, gives us a strategy for the future. It is to invite others to join with us in the fellowship that we have with the Father and his own Son, Jesus Christ. This is what we're about, is it not? A place of invitation, a people of invitation, inviting folk in to get to know this God and this Jesus that we love, Jesus who taught us to love and showed us what happens when love is the way. And so I hope over the next few weeks you will take your invitations and share them. Invite others to come along and be our guests. You never know, they may want to stay. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in the offering. Let us pray. Giver of all gifts, we declare our love for you and we offer you these gifts of money to go and be used for the building of your kingdom, here on earth, here and now. These gifts are symbolic of all that we offer to you today and always. Amen. Our hymn is 555, Amazing Grace. Join me as we come to God again in prayer. Generous God, thank you for the wonders of the universe. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through nature and through flesh and blood. We are created in your image, and each one of us reveals something of you to the people we meet. Each person we meet also reveals something of you to us. We are sensitive, fragile beings. We need shelter and food. We need warmth and water. The world provides for all our needs, and yet so many do not have what they need because some people refuse to share, or because some people choose to make a profit, or to use fear of violence to withhold the needs of the many. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change this. Science and technology are making amazing discoveries every day, and yet profit seems to come before common sense and the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change this. There are more souls on the earth than ever before, and yet people feel more isolated than ever. Promotion of fear leads to lack of trust, which leads to more isolation and loneliness. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change this. May we use the gifts you have given us to share with people, to enable people, and to treat people with fairness and equity. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 512, To God Be the Glory, hymn 512. God flesh, who became one of us, be near you every step you take. May you know Christ's love and you share that love with others. And may the Spirit walk with you each day, always.